Hi, you're listening to Know Yourself with Dan Udell. Welcome back to the podcast. It has been a bit of a hiatus for 5 months. I think the last episode I did was in April, where I was interviewing Neil Conlon. It was a really good interview and he gave some really good insights. And I think after I was listening back to the episode, I noticed that I wasn't all there, I wasn't all present, I wasn't all myself. And the whole reason I wanted to do this was to help people and to give knowledge and sort of resources that I never had when I was first kind of encountering my mental health issues. And I just kind of felt like I was being inauthentic with myself by kind of soldiering on and trying to be a hero and like carry on, even though there's something that wasn't quite clicking. So I've taken some time out and I feel kind of ready to come back. And the good news is I've got an episode today, and this one that I'm recording now, and then there's an episode that I'm doing next week with a therapist from Ireland. So I'm really looking forward to that, because she's an integrative therapist and I've never interviewed an integrative therapist. So yeah, that's going to be really cool. We've already chatted on the phone and she's got like loads of really good like sort of insights, and I don't know, I get a good feeling about her. I think you guys will really like her. So that's going to be really cool. Today's episode though, I wanted to do, it's kind of close to my heart. So I'll share a bit of background about myself. I'll walk you through this topic. I'm calling this episode Practical Positivity. And that's mostly because I have always kind of hated the word positivity, because I always felt as though it was kind of woolly and, you know, it's really quite prominent on a lot of marketing for like wellness and like health, like branding for like diet pills and like 100-day retreats to Bali. And I think for some people that stuff genuinely works, and, you know, like going away, sometimes they say, you know, a change is as good as a rest. So like, I'm not trying to slam any of that stuff. I'm just saying, I think it's like a self-awareness game. Like, you knowing, it's like the name of the podcast, Know Yourself. You knowing who you are and what makes you tick, what might work for you. I was always kind of disappointed and found myself disappointed the more I kind of searched about positivity. It seemed to be quite woolly, and it seemed to be, just if you tell yourself certain things, then, you know, that will be true. There's kind of a lack of accountability, I guess. So this episode's to kind of go through a more accountable sort of version of positivity, and to go through what I think is quite practical about positivity, and also to, you know, talk about my experience with it, and, you know, hopefully that'll help someone. Because I think the way your mindset is orientated and what it's pointed towards is really important in life and towards your recovery. And I really hope this episode helps someone. So a bit about me. Before the sort of last 12 months or so, I've always had a very sort of pessimistic and negative outlook on life. I was kind of convinced that I'd just had a bad roll of the dice a lot of the time. You know, it seemed always to be something else, like I'd been bullied as a kid. I'd had a bad relationship growing up with my mum. My mum and dad weren't together ever. They split up when I was really young. So it was stuff like that. And, you know, I'd kind of got it in my head that the world was kind of out to get me, and I was just going to forever be a victim. And I kind of almost like played a role in my own life, you know, like a play or a movie. I was kind of creating this reality that might not have even existed. It's kind of like that whole idea of law of attraction. Like, if you put something out there enough, it will actually eventually play out and come true. And that was the case a lot of the time with, you know, the way I looked on, the kind of outlook on my life was bad things were going to happen to me. It was destined. So eventually I kind of almost enabled those bad things to happen. And what did that negativity and pessimism look like? It wasn't extremely obvious. You know, I'm kind of like a happy-go-lucky guy on the surface of it. You know, I get on with people really well. I always have done. And genuinely, when I was speaking to people, it would appear as though I was happy. But it was kind of my self-talk to myself in my head. And when the going got tough, you know, when you were met with adversity, it was really then that I kind of, you know, had this kind of negative and pessimistic outlook. It was almost like me pointing at the thing that was happening, you know, the adversity, and going like, ah, see, I told you, it's something bad to happen. You know, it was like proving my point all the time. So like the kind of symptoms, as it were, you know, like, what does it look like? So on the outside, it was like, you know, I'd bitch to like work colleagues, you know, about like things that were happening. Like, I'd get involved in drama that wasn't anything to do with me. Because again, it kind of supported this worldview that I had, that things were crappy and they were going to continue to be crappy. But I was creating this kind of scaffolding, like a framework of, to allow that to continue. You know, I'd complain if like the person at Starbucks like put the wrong milk in or whatever. You know, I'd get really pissed off if someone cut me up at a roundabout when I was driving. You know, I almost like had a sense of entitlement as well. You know, I didn't, you know, deserve to be treated this way, and I didn't deserve these things to happen. When, you know, in actual fact, like, sometimes things just happen. It's not about whether you deserved it or not. Like, you know, sometimes that's just life. Like, it's like cause and effect. Like, sometimes bad stuff does happen and it's no one's fault. So I kind of lacked that kind of broader like perspective on things. So yeah, I think without kind of realizing it, I was kind of distorting my own reality and, you know, creating this negative mindset and attitude, which ironically enabled things to carry on, you know, going wrong, really. And I'm still kind of working on like how I'm going to articulate this to you, but hopefully it all kind of makes sense. I'm still kind of working out myself, and I think positivity is something I've got to like continue to work on every day. I don't think you just kind of wake up and then that's it. You got it figured. But I've got a good kind of set of principles now, and I really think, you know, sharing some of these is going to help you. The first thing for me is gratitude. That was also something that always used to annoy me, was hearing about, you know, gratitude. Like, you got to be more grateful and stuff like that. It just really pissed me off because it seemed like a platitude, and it just seemed really like overstated on a lot of like marketing stuff that you hear. And I don't know, I didn't have the patience to ever look into it seriously and that sort of thing. And, you know, certain things happen in your life, and, you know, we had a house fire, for example, a couple of years ago, and one of my sisters ended up in hospital, like, on a separate occasion. It wasn't to do with the house fire, but on a separate occasion, not too far away from that. You know, my mum, she had breast cancer at the back end of last year. She's now in remission, luckily. You know, my dad, he had a heart attack this year. So it's like certain things like that happen in your life, and like gratitude does come to the forefront of your mind, because you don't want the regret of, like, you know, never telling the people around you what they mean to you. But it's also the, it's kind of like the wider picture. So for me, I was having a conversation with a colleague at work, and this is when gratitude really started for me, like really started. So it wasn't all these different things that happened to me, with family and stuff like that. It was actually a conversation with a colleague. You know, I've got this colleague. He's a developer, and he writes software, and he's also really fascinated about science. And we were talking about like germ theory, about, you know, how that was discovered. And it was actually as a result of a investigation that a man called, I think he was called John Snow actually, did in London in, I think it was 1854. And basically what had happened is there was this outbreak of cholera in London, and it was one of the worst outbreaks of cholera that they'd ever had. And, you know, small children like were dying, and, you know, like there were women and men dying in this borough of London, and no one could really understand why. So this guy called Jonathan Snow, he teamed up with this reverend, and they started going around the houses in London, in this particular borough, and started almost like interviewing people and asking, like, you know, what's been happening, what's been going on for this particular, like, you know, particular area. Why are people getting sick? Yeah, so they wanted to know, why are these people getting sick? Is there any kind of, I don't know, is there any common strand that connects these people? And eventually they got to this brewery, and they noticed that none of the men at the brewery had gotten ill. And they asked the men, you know, what is it that you drink throughout the day? And the men said that they got paid in the beer that they made. And part of the process of making beer is boiling what's called wort, which is like the hops. And you mix in boiling hot water with the hops, and you get this kind of like mash, this like porridge almost. This guy, John Snow, started boiling water, and people were able to drink the water then without getting ill. So he quickly realized that it was one of the local pumps that must have been causing it. So he spoke with the local council, and he begged them, please turn off this water pump. I think the pump's making people sick. And he explained his theory, how he'd interviewed, you know, these people with this reverend, because the reverend was like a man of the community. And he convinced them to shut off this water pump. Now, when they investigated the well that supplied the pump, basically they saw that a cesspit, because back in those days you didn't have toilets, there were cesspits that people would dig into their gardens, you know, holes in the ground effectively, and one of these cesspits had breached the side of the well wall, and the well fed the pump. And one of these particular cesspits, you know, with like human feces, they were infected with cholera, and it was a baby's nappy that was in there, and those feces were getting into the water and infecting it. And that's how modern germ theory was accepted, because for the first time, people understood that germs could travel through water. It was a common theory that a lot of germs at the time were, it's called the miasma theory, that germs were actually passed through the air. And, you know, whilst that's the case now, we know for like the common cold, it's actually more commonly that, germs travel through fluids and stuff like that. And it got me really interested. So after this conversation with a colleague, you know, I was really fascinated. So I just pulled up Wikipedia and I started looking into the 1854, you know, cholera outbreak in London. And I just got really fascinated with it. And I always thought cholera was like a really kind of medieval disease, and, you know, people got it from drinking dirty water and stuff like that. And, because people drank out of wells and, you know, stuff like that. So I started looking into cholera in particular once I'd obsessed a bit about Jon Snow. And I was absolutely taken aback by what I found, because I realised that cholera isn't a disease that is extinct. It's a disease that is mostly extinct in the first world, countries like England, you know, Sweden, USA, you know, first world countries. But in third world countries, like in Africa or like in Yemen, they are still dealing with outbreaks at the moment. In fact, Yemen in 2016 had one of the world's worst recorded outbreaks of cholera. So I started looking into why this was, because I was kind of hooked at this point. I really wanted to understand why cholera was still even a thing. And it's, for the large part, a lack of sanitation, so clean drinking water, and cleanliness, the ability for people to, you know, clean their bodies and go to the toilet, and for that to be dealt with in a healthy and cleanly manner. And I was just absolutely taken aback that I can get out of my bedroom and I can walk a couple of feet and go up to the bathroom, and, you know, I can run the tap and it is running crystal clear water. It's, you know, it's nice and cold and it's perfectly drinkable. And I realised at that point how much I'd been taken for granted what I had. So it kind of started from there, you know, this whole gratitude thing. I realised that I was taken for granted, you know, the clean water. And then I realised that I was taken for granted, you know, the food that I get to eat, the fact that I've got electricity, the fact that I've got a job, a stable job, and that I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't have to worry about where I've got to live each night either. You know, I'm not homeless, I've got a home. You know, I've got clean running water, I've got food, I've got a job, I've got a family. You know, I'm in a country where there's democracy, there's no war. You know, we're protected by laws and we've got human rights that are adhered to. Once I started evaluating and bringing this into the forefront of my mind, I realized actually how good I have it. And it's actually a case of what is there not to be happy about, really? There's actually so much to be happy and grateful for. It boosted my mood. It boosted my sort of kind of mindset and outlook on life. And it really kind of helped me. And it's a special memory I've got learning about cholera. You know, it's a devastating disease, but it's so easily treatable. So, you know, it helped me on my way to beginning this kind of gratitude journey. The other kind of part of this kind of practical positivity is, you know, I'm training to be a counsellor at the moment, and I learned about a particular model of therapy, and it's one of the most popular models, and for a good reason. It's person-centred theory, or human-centred approach to counselling, developed by a man called Carl Rogers. He's really one of the founding fathers of, you know, a lot of modern day therapy. You know, it's really a cornerstone of therapy. And kind of at the heart of his theory is this this thing called the core conditions. And they're three key components to the counselling process, basically, which is congruence, empathy, and UPR. And UPR stands for unconditional positive regard. So it's the belief that no matter what humans do, they want to do good with their lives. You know, people don't turn up to work and they want to do a bad job. People don't go to parties because they want to have a row. You know, people don't basically seek out malignancy or, you know, evilness towards society. You know, they want to do good. People want to have happy lives. That's all, what we're all, you know, pursuing happiness, really. He basically believed that people just get lost along the way. Like, you know, sometimes on that road they slip and they fall, or they're carrying something with them on that journey that they need to be able to help themselves leave behind. So he was really like for people. He was so pro people. So learning about unconditional positive regard really, really made me understand that people, when you look at people, you can see the potential for what a person could be, you know, for that person to be able to change their attitude and behavior. He really believed that, you know, if they're given the right climate, that can happen. I just really like it, and I really respect Carl Rogers. If you ever get a chance, there's a really rare video that's on YouTube, and it's of him counseling someone. It's a lady called Gloria. It's a really famous video clip because it's used in counseling training to help people understand his style. So this woman was, she had three separate counselors, you know, help her. I think the video might be from like the 70s. It's really old, but it's a fascinating insight into his approach and how he kind of, how he puts what he talks into practice, basically. I think it's really good. It really helped me. Have a look at that. It made me understand that people have got their own lives too. And, you know, it taught me to be more kind of appreciative of what other people might have going on in their life. You know, going back to one of the other core conditions, empathy, it made me kind of think like, well, someone might have something going on for them today. That's why they might not have put the right milk in my drink at Starbucks, or, you know, someone might have stuff going on at home, or like, you know, someone might have had something similar happen to them that I've had happen to me. Like someone that they have that's really close to them has, you know, become ill or something like that. So yeah, it made me kind of like evaluate what I can do like externally to help create like as best, you know, like positive environments for other people and for myself. So for example, when I'm at the petrol station, if I see someone, I smile at them and I tell them to have a good day, because I like seeing the look on their face, you know, change when someone's being friendly to them. But also, like, it makes me feel good as well. It, you know, I might have genuinely changed that, like, person's day. And I just try and, you know, try and control some of my environment as well. Like, the people that I hang around with, I try and surround myself with people who have got a genuinely kind of good outlook in life. And, you know, just because things are bad now in a particular moment in time, you know, there's a lot going on in the news at the moment. There's a lot, you know, going on in the world. But to understand, you know, to be able to take that step back, again, about perspective, take that step back and understand that things are generally going in the kind of upward trend. You know, technology, health, people are living longer. You know, people go out of their way every day to be nice to each other. It's just about kind of steering your mind towards that, to look for it. There's a really famous thing that people say, which is you find what you look for. I found that through listening to Gary Vee's content. And kind of since then as well, you know, listening to other people, I've kind of heard it mentioned. And it's so true. Whatever you are kind of pointing your mind towards, you're eventually going to find. You know, we're really good at, like, it's like when you buy a new car. Like, I've got a red car. And as soon as I bought that particular model, I started seeing it all over the place. You know, because it's now a part of your life. you're actively going out of your way to look at it, look for it. It's a particular part of the brain that does that called the RAS, or RAS, the reticular activating system. It's the part of our brain that kind of looks for things in our environment that's similar to what we own or what we have or what we aspire to have. So it's really interesting kind of concept to keep in your mind, you know, you kind of find what you look for. So that really helps me as well. I think kind of, yeah, it is really taking that step back and understanding, am I in a particular moment of time? Am I upset about something, or have I got a particular point of view on life because of a moment of time? Or actually, can I take a step back and look at the bigger picture, kind of like a bird's eye view, and go, okay, well, let's look at it. I've got my health. You know, I woke up today and I didn't get a phone call off any of my family or friends to say that they were, you know, injured or hurt, or, you know, were still, like, you know, not alive anymore. You know, I woke up this morning and I've, you know, got money in my bank, you know, woke up this morning and I'm able to, you know, drive to work. And little things as well, like being able to enjoy nature and, like, you know, how lucky we are to have such, like, a beautiful planet to live on. You know, I know it kind of sounds, that in itself kind of sounds a little bit woo-woo or, like, spiritual, but, like, I think, you know, it's kind of like that thing, that really famous saying from Jim Rohn, you know, look after yourself because your body's the only place that you have to live. And I kind of think about that, like, with the planet, you know, it's, I think it's really important to respect and just be in awe of the kind of things that we have around us, you know. I just love, like, trees and nature and going for walks and stuff like that, so, you know, makes me happy. And then if you take an even bigger step back, this is the biggest one for me, and it took the longest time to wrap my head around it. But it's being grateful for having a life in the first place. And that one was difficult for me because I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, how do I don't understand what that means. And I figured it out. I was actually driving to work and I was just thinking about it and I was kind of puzzling over it. And I realized we're lucky that we have lives in the first place because, you know, there's so many number of things that could happen. You know, like there's people who get abortions, you know, there's people who lose their children so early on, you know, to the fact that you've made it this far, you've been born in a country where there's no genocide, you know, you've been born in a country where there wasn't some freak accident, you know, and something happened in the area that you lived. You know, it's being grateful that you get to wake up each day, because there's people that may have passed away, even today, that's it for them. Their life is, you know, they're not going to have a tomorrow. So it's being grateful for that as well. And when you really tap into that final point about being grateful for having a life, that's when stuff really starts to change. Like, that's when things got really interesting for me. I noticed that I was a lot more content in life. You know, things don't really kind of matter when you put them into perspective. It was understanding that actually there's, you know, there's, it's about what matters to you instead of, you know, what doesn't matter. There's so many things to not give a shit about. It's actually about how many things should you give a shit about, and how many, it's like a game of inclusion. What should you care about? And it's about making that list as small as possible. And I think gratitude's really great at helping you do that. So yeah, that's kind of everything I wanted to talk about. I hope I've been able to get everything across kind of how I wanted to. And I hope it all kind of makes sense. And it's not kind of like fluff or woo-woo. You know, I really wanted this to be kind of like a practical guide. How to kind of, even if it's just develop an awareness around positivity, and how to sort of incorporate it and include it in your life. Because it's really helped me. You know, it's not, I'm not going to say anything like dramatic, but, you know, it's not like life-changing, but it is arguably, because it's genuinely changed my perspective, and I wake up each day incredibly grateful for just being here, and then the other, like, amazing things that I'm able to have each day in my life, you know, just makes me incredibly thankful a lot of the time. So yeah, I hope you've enjoyed it. And I've got another, like I said at the start of the episode, got another episode coming with a therapist. She's called Aoife, and I'm really excited for you to meet her. I can't wait to interview her. I've got a really good feeling about her from the phone call that we had. And yeah, I just really appreciate you listening, and hope this has been able to help. And I appreciate you being patient with me whilst I've been gone. And, you know, yeah, thank you for listening. It means a lot to me. And yeah, if you want to ever talk to me, I'm on Instagram, dudale92, or I'm on Twitter, and my handle is @knowyourselfpod. That's @knowyourselfpod. You can hit me up there and tell me what you thought of the episode, or just say hey, or, you know, you can ask me any questions you want to ask me. And yeah, I'll talk to you next time. Peace out.